Welcome back, WNST AM 1570. We are Baltimore Positive, and we're broadcasting into a mirror, but yeah. It's such a lovely bar, is it not? Yeah. It's perfect here. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. I've got the brand new Betty Boop tickets. I'm going to be giving these away down here at Mama's on the Half Shell. Jen Fidelli, we've had a great relationship at the beginning of this Mama's tour that we're on, and we were originally going to do this around Elvis's birthday, which was a very special day for Scunny, the founder of Nacho Mama's, and they have grawlered the Mama's cans with margaritas and crushes with tops on because they know that my cat and I, we need a proper Mama's hubcap. Yeah. Martin Knott is here from Air, from Knott, but not the Knott, but here. What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
How are you, man?
Good. I love this Mama's cans. I'm so fired up about it.
Well,
I think it's such a great idea, right?
So Jen Fidelli says to me when I get here an hour and a half ago before I had the lobster roll for lunch.
Yeah.
She says,
and that was
Justin's
delicious.
Brother's coming down. He's going to be your guest today. And I'm like, well, my next guest is a female, so it can't be her because we're going to promote multiple sclerosis and what's going on here in March. And I invited Alan McCallum down, and I'm not sure that we're going to get Alan here, but and then I at 4 o'clock I have Greg Zepaniak from the Grunwald Club about five doors down to come by and talk about Loyola and the real estate market and probably talk about the little crying kid from Duke now that Coach K is going out. So did you hate Duke? You hate Duke, right?
I mean, I think I'm a Marylander, you know, and so like if there was ever somebody, I don't like to use the word hate because the Grateful Dead played such incredible concerts at the Cameron Indoor Arena that it's hard for me not to love that place at some level. And so, you know, I always tease my friends that the best thing that ever happened in the Cameron Indoor Arena was the Grateful Dead. I think it was 1973, and
Did Boot do that?
Excuse me?
They booted everything, right?
Oh, yeah. You can listen to that. You can watch that on YouTube. Got Garcia actually getting airborne during U.S. Blues.
I invited you down today, right? And Moeller would be green rooming. He would send me notes. It would say, Martin Knott, father, family, air, mechanical, plumbing. Blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, what you really want to talk about is the Grateful Dead.
Well, I mean, consistently, it's a area of high level of knowledge.
All right, well, here's a magic thing that happened since the last time we got together, and we become sort of off the field friends.
Yeah, so of course.
I invite friends over, and I haven't seen you. When's the last time we were in a room together? We did a Christmas event with the Baltimore Banner.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, and that was a little too close to Omicron for me.
Yeah,
that was the worst room I was in. It was too close. I went home and I didn't touch people for a couple days.
Yeah.
Because it was a little weird.
It was the first time out for a lot of us, you know, I think.
Well, I mean, they were checking a vax card, all that. It was all legit. It was just too indoor-y for me that night.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll never forget that because I've never felt uncomfortable around people. I like people.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
I miss this so much.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. That connection.
So last weekend, 2 weeks ago tonight, so today's a Friday, giving a full thing away. But anyway, happy birthday to my dad for tomorrow. It'll be 103 if he were still alive.
That's awesome.
Amazing. So the Mayor series happened when I got back from the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So I get back from the Super Bowl. My wife left for a couple weeks ago. And I'm home alone. And I looked on my calendar. Mayor was playing in Philly, two in New York, and one in D.C. And I'm like, God, I love John Mayer. But Mayer, when I used to go see him, was screaming girls. And like he's singing and playing. And it was like a Beatles show.
Yeah,
and I was like, God. But I love Mayer. So I'm like, I want to go to one of these shows.
Which one did you go to?
Okay, so I was going to go to Philly on Friday. But I was a little out of gas. And I'm like, the Wednesday show, my son and his wife, they love John Mayer. They went to the show at the Lyric. Did you go to that one?
I did not.
That was a couple, 2 years ago. I was stuck in Cleveland at a football game.
Gotcha.
It was like a Sunday night with the Ravens
in
December.
I remember that.
It was for Paul Reed Smith. Yeah, thank you.
Guitar.
So, yes. Yep. So they went without me and had the greatest night of their life. So my wife's with my son and his wife, and they're like, "Tag, you're missing the greatest show." So I'm like, I'm going to even go see John Mayer. So Mayer does Sob Rock. Friday night, I put on this serious special that was shot in L.A. the week I was at the Super Bowl of Sob Rock. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to go see this show.
Yeah.
You know, Phil and Gaines is playing on this, and yeah. and Ferroni's playing the drums from Tom Petty's band.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I got to go.
And he got sick, didn't he?
Yeah, here's what happened. So Friday, I didn't go, and instead of doing that Friday, I hung out with my cat, and I cranked John Mayer up on the big screen and yeah. watched the concert from like 9 days before.
On like
and
nugs
it got
or
me
something.
Like, I got to go. I got to
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
So I mega bust on Monday night. Up to New York. I took the 1230 megabus for $48.85 round trip.
Worth every penny.
God, I went to the Garden. Is there anything better than a show at the Garden?
No. Not really.
You seen the Dead at the Garden?
I did not see the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
I've seen Dead and Company there.
Okay.
It's a magical place. It moves. You know, the Garden's suspended. Right, and
it's like
moves.
Up on the fifth floor.
It yeah. moves, and so you know you can imagine what's happening when everybody's dancing. You know, got 35,000 people dancing. It moves, and so I'm
just like our camera moved on us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
right. It's probably me leaning on the table.
No, it probably is. So I went up to the Garden. I had this great
Killer.
Experience, and what I'm here to tell you, and this isn't me pissing on baseball because I could do that all night.
Mm-hmm.
I've fallen back in love with concerts and live
yeah.
music.
Yeah.
And that's where my heart is right now at 53 to
good.
Spend free time.
Yeah,
now, when
good.
Baseball comes back and it's relevant, I'm all over the Ravens.
Yeah.
Combine this week. We got the
yeah.
draft. All
big
you know,
time.
That's cool. Terps are going to hire a coach. March Madness next week. That's cool. But there's something special for me about having sports taken away and music taken away. And mm-hmm. music is the thing right now. I mm-hmm. can't wait for Foo Fighters at Merriweather. Tesla's
yeah.
paying Merriweather.
It's going to be awesome, isn't it?
So, but your Mayer thing, were you a Mayer fan, or he slid into your world with the Dead, right?
He totally slid in.
You have kids that might have liked John Mayer,
totally.
Right?
My daughter loves him, you know, thinks he's like, you know, the greatest thing on the planet. I mean, she goes to the Dead and Company shows, not because it's Dead and Company.
He's the sexiest man on earth. I'm not going to lie.
Women do love that guy.
The Garden,
sure.
It was 60%. Men.
Yeah. Right. Well, taking their ladies and, you know.
It was men. He has become Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
In that way that if he,
yeah.
he's got two members of Eric Clapton's band on stage with him, right?
Yeah, so, that's right. That's
so
right.
What you're seeing here, just from a music standpoint, I felt like it was a significant thing to go see him. He's 44 years old now.
I know.
Which to me, he'll always be 21 and writing Why Georgia, right?
Yeah.
But to see bands in their prime.
Yeah.
It's the reason the Dead and Company's good now, apparently, is because he's a part of it.
Well, I mean, you know, he is a special part of it, you know, and he has connected to the music, which is a beautiful thing. When you go and get a maestro like him, you know, like he's a modern day Bach. I mean, he
right.
really is.
Right.
You know, like we're
right.
going to be listening to his stuff that he puts on this planet for a long time. And, you know, I immediately fell in love with him because he fell in love with the music. And once you fall in love with that music, you know, it does things to you like what you were just talking about. Like, you know,
well,
your new thing is...
Well, the first days are the hardest
right?
days.
And it's the lyrics and it's the energy and it's the people that are there and all of that collective.
I've only seen the Dead once in my life and I didn't have any fun. And have I told you this?
No.
I think I told you this when I met you. I came over to your house one day and
I probably tried
to
forget about it.
I found the ticket stub. It was
yeah, cool.
It was the Tom Petty Dead Dylan.
Yeah, 1987.
It was at RFK Stadium.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, this shirt looks a little green, a little gray. This is what my hot dog looked like that I got that day at RFK. I stood in line for a year and a half. There was
yeah.
no baseball there then. The Redskins were a thing.
Yeah.
But this was, it was 102 degrees that day. I
yeah.
love it. I
yeah,
mean, there's
yeah,
no
yeah.
doubt about it. And I was there to see Petty, and Petty was doing...
What was he doing?
No, he was doing Spike, what do you like?
Mm.
He was doing, it wasn't Wildflower, it was before Wildflower, way before Wildflowers.
Yeah.
He was doing some hippie stuff.
Yeah.
He was doing the Southern accents.
Yeah, that's right.
The Southern accent, yeah.
He's, you know, talk about somebody that we miss, you know. Tom Petty's sorely missed.
I got to get back to the story. Martin Knott's here, by the way. We're at Mama's on the half shell. We're doing margaritas. That's Crush.
Yeah, this is a
so
Crush.
So if you could take a
couple
margarita
of them,
or
right?
a Crush, which one would you take?
I would take the Crush. Vitamin C. I mean, it's
okay,
just
well, you're taking
C
the
thing,
Crush. Right. I'm going to take the margarita. Okay. We're
okay.
at Mama's on the half shell.
Right. We get
we're
these.
At the Long Bar.
Making money.
I'm giving away Betty Boop. Lottery tickets, so come on by and say
yeah,
hello.
Those are killer.
I want to promote that we're going to be at El Guapo in Catonsville next Thursday from 1 to 4. Then we're at Costas for March Madness on the 18th. That's Friday, 2 to 5. And then we're going to be at Fadley's, which I know...
Yeah.
I've seen you there. 9 a.m. till noon on the 23rd, all presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Goodwill Industries. We've got a new sponsor. I want to give a shout out. Big thanks to Lisa and everybody, and Jonathan, everybody at Goodwill as well. All right, so the mayor story goes like this. Monday, I played hooky. I did a Ferris Bueller, right? Got my work done in the morning.
Yep.
Luke and I mailed it in. 12:30, I go up to New York. I get up there, pizza.
Yeah.
Little Asian food.
It's all right.
Little
there.
Korean ice. I did it all up. A couple beers.
Because you can.
I had a really good seat because I bought it the day before and I kind of got a really good seat. And it was special. So I go up there, I sit down, and I immediately notice there's a chair set up in the middle of the stage. And Mayor comes out on the second night, and my son talked me into going. My son's like, dude, you got to go to New York, man. Like, he does special stuff in New York. Like, yeah. Somebody cool is going to get on stage. Sting's going to get on stage. Like, something's going to happen. You got to go. So how are you? I go. So my son talks me into going, right? So I go up, and I've got a great seat. He comes out, grabs an acoustic guitar, and starts playing Neon.
Nice.
And he's singing Neon, Neon, Neon. And the crowd's like, and I'm like, oh my God, this isn't Sob Rock. This is special. He's coming out and doing this thing. Like Springsteen would show up early sometimes and do two acoustic songs at 6 o'clock if you happen to be there in Europe. Then he'd go back, come back out an hour or two later and play the show.
God bless.
So he comes out and does this. And he's like, all right, I got to come clean with all you. My drummer tested positive for COVID. I'm like, Ferroni's not here. You know, because I came to see the Petty drummer,
right? Yeah.
So he's not there. And he said, my backup singer says, so we're going to be playing acoustic all night. And we're going to figure it out. So,
I mean, that's the special thing that happened to you.
Now, like, the lighters are out. And, like, you know, he's playing Vultures and playing Daughters. Like, playing all this stuff, right? And he's like, all right. I got an announcement to make. Questlove is here to save the day. He's going to sit in and play drums. We're going to play some more electric stuff.
Boom.
Electric, Questlove, Vultures, old school, little Gravity. I get on the bus and I'm like, I saw something special.
Yeah, right you knew.
So, I mean, but you mentioned Petty and these pieces of Prince and Petty and Jerry in your case, or Clarence Clemons in my case.
That's right.
Or Neil Peart, which is a whole... I'll start drinking that margarita right now if I start talking about Rush, because I feel about Rush the way you feel about the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, no, I love Rush,
too. Music's a gift, dude.
Great. Of course, it's a great gift. I mean, think about it. We've been, you know, as a species, you know, we've been doing music since we were singing hymns, or since we figured out a way to make a drum, or, you know, figured out that two sticks made, you know, vibration
and then it brings
music.
People together.
It brings people. It's a huge thing that brings people together, and it's a huge thing that makes people happy. Listening to music makes people happy. There is science there, and there's no question about it. And look, my safe space is any, you know, sort of Dead and Company show or something along those lines. It is a space
where...
How
many times have you seen the modern thing, the thing they've done the last 5 years?
Dead and Company?
The thing with Mayer. How many times have you seen Mayer?
I'm up to 48 of those.
Oh, so you're going to a lot.
So I went to 19.
I felt 19. The same way about Melkin it too, because that's what I mean about Mayer. Seeing Mayer at 44 at Madison Square Garden on a Monday night where I have a $48 round trip with a clean bathroom and I can
brilliant.
Work. I mean, come on.
Yeah, brilliant.
And that's one of the beauties of living here in Baltimore is that we have, I can pick, do I want New York, Philly, or Washington?
That's right. And get there almost as easily, you know, no matter which way you go.
Easier than getting to Manassas.
Oh, of course. Right? I mean, seriously, you got to leave. If you want to go to Jiffy Lube, you have to leave at 1 o'clock in the afternoon if you're going from Baltimore.
It's a day trip.
Yeah, and you got to be prepared to be there early and hang out, or go down there and find some place to hang out, because if you go during the traffic times, like, you're not getting there. You're going to be, like, pulling up at 6:45, not happy. Of course, you're going to get happy once you get into whatever it is that you're going to see.
I love Wolf Trap. I love outdoor venues. And I've told Damien this, and I'm not blowing smoke. I told somebody at the bar this the other night. I went to Raleigh to see the Eagles the other night.
Uh-huh, nice. I went to the Raleigh Amphitheater. I saw Dead and Company. They opened up their tour.
That downtown thing?
No, it wasn't in downtown. It was out in the woods.
Walnut Creek.
Yeah, Walnut Creek. Okay, really great space.
So I was sitting at the bar just talking about music and talking about places. And, you know, this guy was a big music fan, and we're there talking about the Eagles and whatnot, and I told him I traveled a little bit. He said, where's your favorite place to see a show? You been to Red Rocks? You know, it's like all that, right?
Of course.
So Red Rocks has become this Lambeau Field
of course.
For music.
Yeah, it's good.
In my opinion, and this is, nobody's paying me to say this, and Lord knows I love Gene Parker, and I love Columbia, what has happened in Meriwether what Hurwitz has done down there and awesome. What that represents for me for the next 10, 15 years of my life.
Right.
To be able to go down there, maybe not 30 times a year. I thought about living in Howard County. I mean, I thought about living in that community
when
we moved. But being able to go down there, park my car, sit on the lawn where I saw Tom Petty, sit on the lawn where I saw Frank Sinatra,
sit
on the lawn where I party with Jimmy Buffett 1,000 times back in the 80s, where I first saw the Cars.
Yeah, that's right.
On the Heartbeat City tour in 1984.
I saw Petty there. I saw John Mellencamp there. You know, like in high school, I saw Madonna.
You were at the Madonna show?
I was at the Madonna show.
There were a lot of people at that show.
It was crazy. It was crazy. We had a blast, you know, and that was like early indoctrination into live music.
You have memories there.
Absolutely. I love Meriwether.
So when those spaces come back to life in that sort of way and they're given new life from people you know. I mean, you put...
Yeah,
you,
I know Brad and
tell me what you do, because you're doing Air now, but you
Air's
know these
great.
People that do these big projects, and they take visionary strategy so that people come and have a good experience.
Yeah, well, I think, like, you know, the Meriwether, you know, that reinvention really came around, you know, let's reinvent downtown Columbia. You know, where there was a new vision.
Well, there was a mall that was the vision of 1978, right?
Yeah, that was Rouse's vision, you know. And, you know, of course, he did this incredible thing by creating all those communities down there. And, you know, what an incredible place to live, right? Pioneers.
I always wanted to live in Howard County. It's a dirty little secret. I've told people that all the time.
It's not a bad place to live. It's got great schools. It's, you know, beautiful county. You know, it's got the rolling hills of the same rolling hills as Baltimore County does.
I got invited to a party last week, and I went to it out past Clarksville in this little town. Old friend of mine had a party, and I drove down some of those roads, and I'm thinking to myself, what did this look like in 1968 when I was born, and what it looks like now?
That's right.
And you talk about a place that had a complete vision, right?
That's right.
When Seth comes in to redo that amphitheater, it comes with housing, urban development, and that circle was kind of a lot of communities that you would go and see in Kansas City, Texas, other places. They flew here in 1978 and said, I want to build what he built.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. That was copied all over the country. And then you got these incredible investors that came in, Howard Hughes Corporation coming in and, you know, buying out the, you know, properties around there and making a huge investment. You see what they're doing right now on the waterfront, lakefront, I should say. Unbelievable investment. I got like $324 million investment going into downtown Columbia.
Well, when I went down there in the winter to maybe live there, there was an ice rink about 50 feet away from the backstage door of Meriwether.
Yeah.
Like, there are things happening down there.
Yeah. Look what we did with the chrysalis. You know, the green chrysalis that's in the woods behind Meriwether. It's a second stage.
Okay.
That is, you know, I was the chair of the Inner Arbor Trust when they did that. That was a huge push by Ken Allman. Think of the visionaries. You had John DeWolf, you had Damien O'Doherty, you got a bunch of, you
when
know,
did this
older
start? 10, 12,
10 like years ago, something like that, you know, and a lot of visionaries and a lot of people that knew what was going to happen and had been to places like Austin and come back and said, hey, man, we can do that here. Music, parks,
people,
walkable.
You know,
like Columbia is walkable. Downtown Columbia is totally walkable. There's like 100 miles of trails just in that whole area that you can bike on, that you can walk on, that you can run on. It's incredible. And then, of course, you've got the mall, which, you know, it's got just about everything that you could ever ask for there. And they've, you know, redone and reinvented themselves in many ways and adding these all kinds of cool stuff there. So combination of, you know, when you get that kind of change, it, you know, comes from vision, you know, and Ken Allman and
people
a lot
from
of guys.
Towson and Dundalk and downtown, which I could be, or I lived in White Marsh. It brings me there.
Yeah.
And when it brings me there, is it a place I want to go back to? And you just disparage Jiffy Lube, right? Because it's not a place it's too far for us. It's nice if you live in Reston. It's nice if you live in Vienna, right?
It's just like, you have to take a day and do it. You know, like they only, you know, that is the deal. Like,
well,
you want to go
there.
Well,
I was very, very afraid. There were long, long periods of time once Celador got involved, then Live Nation, where every former show that used to play at Meriwether.
Right.
There was a 12-year period, 15-year period.
Yeah.
From the time I was 30 till I was 45.
Yeah.
Where if you wanted to see a prime act, Right. You had to go there. Buffett stopped playing Merriweather, right?
Yeah, I
all
know.
The big. So to have all of that come back in
starting
this
to come
way,
back in a big way.
And I started looking at the schedule again. You know, yeah. Rod Stewart and Cheap Trick are down there this year.
Yeah,
I saw the Goo Goo Dolls and Train down there last year.
Yeah,
I saw Alanis Morissette down there. I saw James Taylor and Jackson Brown.
Yeah.
So these are Hall & Oates. Went down and got some Korean barbecue with my son and his.
That's great.
I'm looking forward to that. So you talk about, we can sit here and bitch about baseball,
There's so many good things to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, you know, too easy to talk about fun things. I mean, you know, what an awesome job Howard Hughes is doing with what they've been given down there and the redevelopment of behind what used to be our parking lots when we were coming there. You know, there was like Grateful Dead shakedowns on those places, and now you got Tenable. Basically sitting
I drank
on,
beer
you know.
And you know, like these mamas out of coconut cups and ice luges.
Yeah.
You know, at the Buffett shows.
Oh, yeah. It was phenomenal. Many, many great memories of walking into that place, you know, sort of.
Many mosquito bites after.
Yeah. You know, it happens. I mean, there's that little river that runs behind it. And so it's a little bit wet back there. But, you know, the Dead got kicked out of there in the early 80s.
Because they were peeing in the mall.
Well, people were like swimming in the river and stuff like that and, you know, making it a bath or whatever it was. And so they got launched out for a while. Garcia came back.
The story was they were bathing in the mall fountains.
That's totally possible.
No, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Unless I got the story wrong.
Yeah. Well, all I say is, like, if you want to have a peaceful group of people, yeah, there's, like, some hippies that go along with it and all that other good stuff.
But I think
stuff,
they turned the Columbia Mall parking lot into
a bizarre
SEC tailgate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
A Grateful Dead tailgate, for sure.
And there might have been drugs and nudity. Well, there definitely was drugs.
Yeah, I don't remember anything. I don't remember
anything.
It's
been a long, strange trip. Martin Knott's here. Right, let's take a break. We'll come back, do some more.
Sounds great. Yeah,
we're at Mama's on the half show. We're having fun.
Yeah, the Crab Cake Tour, baby.
It's the Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Letting ourselves play. I didn't even ask for the Betty Boop tickets, but I told John Martin, I'm like, it's just fun saying Betty Boop.
Yeah,
I have some
cool.
leftover.
What is that, like
some, I have some leftover Ravens tickets. A
couple
here.
Of them,
just a couple, because we had to cut the tour short,
right?
Because of masks. So
I want to come back. I want to talk about crab cakes.
We'll take a break. Martin Knott is here. Tell me what you do and where you're from and all that stuff and why what you do is important.
I'm the president of Advanced Indoor Resources and
AIR.
That's right, AIR. And we're interested in applying our skills, plumbing, HVAC, building automation controls to make buildings safer, healthier, and smarter, and cost less. And so, you know, a lot's happened since this pandemic started, and, you know, indoor air changed forever. We're the only animals on the planet that spend 90% of their time indoors. Everybody else outside. Tells you something, right? Outside air is pretty good. Inside air can actually be better than outside air.
Yeah, I have this
Imagine
conversation
that.
A lot. When Victor Brick comes on from Planet Fitness and Brick Bodies, he's into wellness, and he's really into the cold water baths and temperature. And we talk a lot about, like, our clothes protecting our skin, that, like, humans were born on the planet to be naked, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Literally, as creatures,
sure.
And we have skin and not fur,
yeah.
Like, right? And that we're always, because of the world, we're always in a space or want to be in a space that's about 72 degrees.
72
that's what
degrees
we're
works
used
great.
To. That's what we're used to.
And the brain, according to the Lieber Institute, this great institute in Baltimore, this is probably the preeminent brain institute in the world, I think came out with a paper recently that said 72 degrees optimal brain performance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 72 degrees,
okay.
98.6, right? You don't have a fever?
Well, there's these studies about sleeping when it's like 60 degrees, and that freaks me. Like, I hate sleeping in the cold.
No.
I hate waking up cold, having to pee in the middle of the night because I'm at that age.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, so, but as humans, we seek that, and we get real comfortable with that. And anything that's a little more or a little less, it gets up to 82, 84. I put the air conditioning on. Mm-hmm. Gets down to 66. Woo, got to turn the heat up a little bit, right?
Right.
So
it's comfort.
But to you, what you've talked about so much is we always know that. We never know, is this
what
a good room
breathing?
Or bad? I had a little construction going on. I walked in the room. I saw the dust. I'm like, oh,
probably
that's going in my lungs.
Want to breathe
that's
that.
Going in my lungs. Yeah,
people
that's
don't
not
talk
good.
About it. Think about the years.
The plague has changed that.
It has. Thank God. You know, I think we're going to look back in 10 years and say, wow. Thank God we sort of figured out indoor air because it's costing us a fortune, right? Like, if my new theory is you're already paying for it. You're either paying for it in higher energy costs because you don't control outside air, right? and or you're paying for it in healthcare costs. You've got more sickness. You've got less productivity. You've got, you know, bodies changing in the afternoon. Everybody's tired because there's no oxygen in the building anymore. And, you know, people are less productive. Add up. What's the most expensive cost in a building? The salaries of the people that are in it. And so when you start doing the math and think about the healthcare impact of high quality indoor air, which, you know, the experts have been screaming about for 30 years. Nobody was listening. You think about that. And then you add to it, wow, I can have a smarter building that's going to, you know, cost me a little bit less and be a better place for people to be. There's a real add. There's a real value add that's going to happen. I mean, all of our schools are going to get done. There's a bill now in Annapolis.
Because why? You don't want your seven-year-old breathing bad air.
Who does? You got in Montgomery County, you got people sending their kids in with CO2 monitors in their backpacks so that they can see, like, what the oxygen level is. The parents are really concerned, right? You got a wealthy population down there, that, you know, Montgomery right. County, and they want to know, like, what's going on in the schools. But I will say that, you know, I was with Montgomery County earlier this week, and they are, you know, set to, you know, solve the problem. They want indoor air quality to be the best it can possibly be. And you know what? It should be. It absolutely should be everywhere, everywhere for everybody, you know?
Well, every building like this was built hundreds of years ago. We're down in Canton and Mama's on the half shell.
Yeah.
You know, the vents that we're putting here and all retrofitting, how does
that
work?
It can all be done. You know, it's a science project, right? So I got to bring in outside air now. That means I maybe got a little heat and cool, more of that.
But none of these buildings were ever
designed to do it.
You talk about asthma, you talk about the lead paint in this city.
Yeah, right.
You talk about trapped air that's recircled.
If you're a young African American and you live on the east side or the west side of Baltimore City proper, you live in terrible housing that doesn't have great indoor air, and then you might be going to schools on a regular basis that don't have indoor air. So your 90% is spent inside in places that are not good. We are one of the highest rates of asthma in the country. An asthma attack, when a kid has to recover from an asthma attack, it's like 4 or 5 days. They miss a bunch of school.
Medical expenses.
And
oh
the
God.
Medical expenses, ugh. All of it. So, like, my point to everybody is, we're already paying for this.
Right.
Right? We're just not getting what we are paying for.
I'm going to talk more about it. You know what I want to do? And this is a real problem. We're having a Maryland crab cake tour. I don't have a crab cake, which I can make happen just by ordering it, right?
Yeah,
but,
it's, of course.
But I'm thirsty.
It's mama's. I mean,
I'm thirsty.
Is crab cake city.
I'm ready to start having a
ready
beverage.
To start drinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got guests coming on.
Yeah, right. That's great.
We're here to talk about multiple sclerosis today, correct?
That's going
to
be
She's
great.
She's got an orange rock in here. I like this.
It. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, important. The Orioles. All right. We'll take a break. We're down here. Mama's on the half shell. We're hanging out. Martin Knott and I are talking some John Maron, some Grateful Dead. Aren't you glad I didn't hand you notes before you came on?
No, I don't do notes. You know, I'm
What are we going to talk about in the next segment?
Let's talk about
multiple sclerosis.
He's holy. Beer. He's holy and I'm not. We can talk about that.
Dude, I saw that picture.
How about that one?
I'm glad I had to talk to you about that. That's good.
Well, look, you're the king of all media. I got the king of all media here. I get to ask him questions about how to do things. I was watching him do his audio today. You know, he's a total pro. He's got, like, analog over here.
Yeah, I'm old school. It's analog.
Beautiful. It's a little digital,
analog.
But
I got Betty Boop tickets to give away here. Everyone's going to be getting these in the coming days and weeks. We are going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and Goodwill Industries all on the road. We're going to be at El Guapo in Catonsville next week. We are going to be in Dundalk at Costas on the 18th, a little March Madness that day.
Yeah.
And then the 23rd, we're at Fadley's in Lexington Market.
Center of the Universe.
He's Martin. We'll step out, take a break. Margaritas, crushes. I feel like a beer, though. Beer and a crab cake. I'm in Canton. We're on the square. To honor Scunny, I think that's appropriate.
I'll do one.
We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Back for more from Canton on Baltimore. Positive.